Okay, Sifyut Beis. We started last week this halacha. I just wanted to learn with you a shach on it so that we have to see it inside. The Mechaba said, Yesh lahachmir, shalai lahaniyach kedei reis etzah ha-shvachais, kishay yisrav ha-bayis, ben yaitzav inifis. So we discussed this numerous times, that a guy shouldn't be left in the house unless a Jew is Yaitzev and Nithnas. The Ramah, on the second side, Vim'ira Kilkul, Shenasna Dover Iser B'Kedera, if it happened that a guy put something treif into the pot, into the food, Ein Lahachila Isa Machol, don't give it to her to eat. Because if she'll find out that if she sticks in a milk a pot into a chicken soup, they say, oh boy, it's treif, take it home. So she'll have an incentive to do it again. So it's a common sense. It's
like you know. If you have to let you know.
Okay. Now, what I wanted to show you is the Chiddush of Shach Lamed Ches. So you have to be mevayer the suffix. Now we said, if you can't be mevayer, that's not called a suffix. That's called a das shaitim, a person who can't do it, that doesn't create a suffix. You have to try to estimate it. You can't estimate, so it's your own chesaron. Zok to shach lamed ches. Im ira kilkul iser b'kedera, b'shvulei leka kosev, shenosna iser b'kedera lahachis. Chetik rabbi teres chatas, glam beis din tes, v'chen nishma tevis lahachis, the lav dafka hu. It's lav dafka if she did it lahachis, chada, Hatam shekasa shaliyum du lasis kein sheikh nami im kavanasa lahanasa. Elonaka lahachis lafuke im loyada shayse davish nisa bekdeira osli Yisrael. Vachikamish nasna isa bekdeira lahachis hamish yada isa dava osli Yisrael vafilahachi nasna. He's explaining the lashon lahachis that it says in the origin is lav dafka. If she did it with teyavim, it's the same din. Now I wanted to show you what it says afterwards. Kasa vayda besyaz b'shen shibulei lake. Ivi kechavim sh'omer. You ever a guy, not the guy was not, you weren't over on a shift in the house. You have food in the house, and a guy is in the house, and the guy says, don't eat it, I made a treif. A guy is not neman to say that he made a treif. There's no nemanis. It's becheskes kosher. And it remains kosher. I can't shine it. The pasuk of Rav Teres Chakas, Klal Lavi based in Tess. The kosher shu poshit, mehevi ev kham in Paris of Shuk, shein ev kham nam on Laila Isa of Laila Heter. So here it's a big chiddush in the Shach. The Shach says that a guy is not nemon to be matrif. A guy is not nemon to make, to say that something is not kosher. If he's the Bailim, he's just a nemon. But if he's just telling you about something that's becheskes Yisrael, that it's that is becheskes kashrus, that a person is not believed. On this, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that if in your heart you believe him, so you can't be mekel. Mm-hmm. Dr. Tshuva brings that a guy masiach lefitumai is neman to be matrif. If you have a guy who's not coming to tell you it's not kosher, not telling you don't eat it. Could be saying, don't eat it, he hopes to give it to him. But if he's Masiach Lefitumai, he's just talking about what goes on in the plant, and he's schmoozing with you. And the guy, he works in some kosher plant, and in the schmoozing, he says, we do certain things. So he says there, the guy Masiach Lefitumai is Neman. Now, I don't think he's Neman against the Yid. If a Mashgiach says he's lying, say the guy has no Nemanis. But Stamazai, if a guy says that he went behind someone's back or without someone's knowledge, and he's Matrif, so he says that there's a nemanis. The shaila.
Why is it says kosher is not
nemanis? What?
It says kosher is not nemanis. It says not kosher is nemanis.
Because we're machmir to be chayshish that he's telling the truth, we're not mekel. So that's why we're.
So this is the shaila. The problem we had on Friday. Anytime you have foolishness.
Right. So there's a chashad that the guy puts in something to be mashbiach it for himself. That's what that's the first piyach of the sif. We learned last week.
If the guy is not planning to eat from it, he's not. Do you assume that they're just doing it? So do you assume that they just do it? I mean, I put it by neighbor, but do you assume that they're not using it?
If the guy doesn't have any benefit, we said that we're not chayshish. However, a guy may want to take a potato and eat a potato. Why? That's a benefit. So you can stick in the not kosher.
Why does he need an anonymous pastor? If he just creates a suffix, why wouldn't that be an anonymous?
Because somebody is becheskes kosher. You know, you put in kosher ingredients. He doesn't need a full nemanis. He needs enough to create a suffix. So the shach is saying that doesn't create a suffix by us. Could be he's angry at the Jew, or could be he hopes to get it himself. And that he has no nemanis.
If you come back to your refrigerator at home and the food is in a different makom, did that change?
There are two issues. One issue of basar and one issue of everything else. And the question was, if you come back to a refrigerator at home, do you have to be chayshish the guy switched it? The Aruch HaShulchan here on Sif Yud Gimel writes that if you leave things in a container at home, so kuli hai loy chashinon. It's one thing if it's cooking and the guy's patchering around the kitchen. But if you leave something in a box, you leave something around, he says kuli hai loy chashinon to say that the guy went and changed it. Now, as far as meat, I mentioned last night again, and we mentioned many times, that we pass in basash and the salaman ayin is mutter. We hold that if you go to work and you put a fleishika sandwich in the refrigerator at work and you come back and get it, so we paskin that's okay. There's no din of basash in the salaman ayin, especially as I mentioned, the guy could steal it, why would he switch it?
Barring
that story in the Alei Shabbat, yeah. So, however, the lashon of the Mekilin is Yesh Matirim Basar Nesam and Ayin Imatzai B'Makim Shehinichai. The language is if you found it in the place where you put it.
What do you call the place?
And he brings B'Makim Shehinichai. That even if you're not sure it's exactly the spot, you didn't concentrate is one thing. But if you find it in a different spot, then it seems that even according to the Mekilim, that would not make. What I'm not sure is when you go to work, and it's normal, each person comes, puts his thing in, and pushes in the other. It's like you hang up your coat, the first coat at the end of the rack, but then the other guy puts his first, and you're first, and you end up at the other end. So, what?
How was the rack?
I'm saying with no simon, when it's without a simon. All right, if there's a tfiyah sayin, achinami. It says here, if there's a tfiyah sayin, then it's good. And Elam Kain Hayy by Simon or Shahila by Tfiya Sayin Fumakirai. So then it's okay. So at work the best thing is to, if you don't have a Simon on it, to at least just put it in the back right away, you'll know where it is, rather than put it someplace where it's likely to get pushed around.
But this is where the guy came and he said that I made it trade.
Right. So the question, though, was about. There are two different things. What I'm talking about now is a separate. Someone asked the question about things left in the refrigerator. You're right. The shachi is talking about things that the guy says is trace. It's two different things. Right. Let's do a sifyud gimel.
So when you read kiddush, and they have very certain ways of coming down. There's no game like waiting on the setting up and actually the food. Is that a problem?
When you have a kiddush and they're only goyim here setting up with the food, cold food is never an issue because cold food, there's no reason for the guy, there's no hanof him to switch it. He comes down, he can lock a guy up in a room with kosher food, there's no problem. Now, as far as things that are cooking, whether it's a problem, the maila in most shuls or catering halls is that there aren't milcha kekelim or treifis that he could stick in. In most of these places, the maila is with no chashash that he put in a milchika spoon and stirred it. So, what?
He brought his own, he had milk.
He brought his own sandwich and did what with it? There's no practical, there's no toast oven, there's no microwave oven. For him to put in a warmer wouldn't make so much sense. And even if he did, it wouldn't really make other things treif. The Hechatimsa isn't there that much. However, I have to tell you, there was a meeting of Ashkachis to try to set up a policy that all Shabbos caterers should have a mashgiach tamidi, should have to have a firm person. And one of the Ashkachis refused. One of the Ashkachis refused. He felt, I'm not condemning anybody, I'm just saying he felt that it was not necessary. And now we have a problem, because our policy in Kehillah is to require a Shomer Shabbos at every Kiddush. That means, and our caterers complained, that means if you go to us, you get tacked on. I mean, you got to pay a guy at least $100. Shabbos morning, he's got to get up, daven v'sikin, and then come here. So for less than $100, you're not going to get it. Sometimes a little more. So you go to two caterers. One caterer has a different hashgacha. It costs a certain amount of money. And this caterer, it's another $100, $125 for a mashgiach. So it's a big problem. We have problems with our caterers. So we allow them to do cater what we call drop-off jobs. In other words, let's say they want to drop off a kiddush here, and then the kehillah is not responsible for the catering itself, so then that's okay. So that's basically, they can't get jobs if it's their job. So now we're having all kinds of problems. What's called a drop-off job? Like if it's a drop-off job and the caterer is the son-in-law of the person, the caterer's son-in-law is doing, without a hechsher, he's doing the catering in the shul. And the store is just dropping it off. How do you define what's a drop-off job and when are they relying on the hechsher for the place itself? So it's a very hard thing. We said they can't put up a sign who it is. They can't put out napkins with their names. But, you know, it's a hard thing in the hechsherim to do it. And I have to tell you honestly, it's also hard to get good people. We once had a job here with the mashgiach and everything. And the person came up to me. He said, you know, mashgiach is very tired. He got up early in the morning and he's sitting in the corner and dozing off. Like, that's what I'm paying $100 for, you know. So he's right. It's just not easy to get people. So what I'm telling you is that in the ideal world, there should be a mashgiach in the shul. The minig is not to require it. And it's different than in the house because there's not that much of a practical problem. There's nothing we're locking him up with that he can do it. When he's in the house, he wants to eat lunch, he'll cook eggs and he'll make himself lunch. There's no place to cook here. There's no cooking machine that's on. There's a warmer that's on. You can't cook there.
What's
mashgiach is supposed to be watching what's going on. The most common problem by Kiddushim is when goyim do malacha on Shabbos. Goyim put things in the oven, goyim takes things out, and that's the most common problem. The truth is, if you know there's a mashgiach, then you have the problem because the caterer is not going to bring in products that are not acceptable to the hechsher because he knows there's a mashgiach. So just saying there's going to be a mashgiach solves half of the problem. But otherwise, there are things I come down. Sometimes people send gifts to the Balei Simcha, baskets and things from places that we don't accept. So, you know, I walk down, I stick my nose here and there, and I see, and I sometimes tell them, don't put this out or don't put that out. But it's a tricky thing. What? If you have a firm person there, it's much better. Some places have a firm person there all the time, and some places don't. Okay, it's much better. From 3 to 6, there's no problem, because if a guy comes, he can steal it rather than replace it. When the food is here, it's not really a problem. It's in a place. It's really under lock and key. People come. Ideally, it should be that way. Ideally, it should be with a mashgiach. People are not willing to pay for it because it's not what they call the industry standard. And that's why it's not. I know that the Nearbiter in Borough Park, where Milmot has a lot of Kiddushim, he hired a roving mashgiach because no one wants to pay for mashgiach all the time. So he has 7 or 8 affairs. So he goes from place to place. It's the Yitz of Inichness. But they do it in the halls.
In the halls they have.
Okay, good. So I know he has a mashgiach who's at least the Yitz of Inichness in these places. But I don't know any I don't know what the other places, I don't know what they do. Yes.
Is the person working there? It's not really a solution. But what if you have 16-year-old kids who may not even know?
It's not a solution. Also, especially because by many people, Amir al-Akum is just mutter. I don't know why. There are many people, Amir al-Akum is mutter. I mean, in my own house, we never have a guy in the house. But Rosh Hashanah, we had 3 days Yom Tov, 3 days, and we had a family of 13 staying by us, in addition to our own family. So my wife got a guy to come to help put the house in order. So she asked me, what could the guy do? I told her, whatever you could do, the guy could do. So she looked at me like, what? I said, whatever you could do, the guy could do. That's all. A guy, Amir al-Akum, last I checked, is an Isser. So what are you going to be mad at a guy to do? I mean, it doesn't... I'm not sure. Let's get back to Kufyut Ches. We're going minyan linyan. As far as the Kedushim are concerned, in the ideal world, there should be a Mashgiach all the time. Lemaisa, that's not the standard. And it's very hard to convince people. It's funny, they're spending thousands of dollars on a simcha, but still, if you go to two caterers and one person is $100, $150 cheaper, you're going to take the cheaper one if they're both equal. You know, so. Okay, Yud Gimel. Now here we come to an important sif because of a shaila we discussed in sif test. The shaila is whether you have to worry that a guy will be mezayif for chasima. Now, before we learn Sif Yud Gimel, let's look at Sif Tes for a minute, because there's a stira, apparent stira test in Yud Gimel, and the Shach is going to, without asking the Kasha, going to answer the stira. In Sif Tes, the Mechaber said that Basa Nimsib Yarei V'Kechavim V'Kasta Olav Chaysim a Kasher, Avu Bishen Edem Yikasva a Kasher Demei Diyadu Shusha Yisrael. If you have a good simon, you can tell us from a Yid, you can rely on it. If the guy could forge the heksher, then it's not a good simon on a heksher. That's what we said in Sif Test. Now, a stam guy is chashud on being mizayif a heksher. That's what we said in Sif Test.
Do you have to assume that the sophistication is potential counterfeit?
Okay, so something that's a big tircha to counterfeit or to copy a signature, you don't have to be chashud. But something that could be done easily. Not. Now, Sif Yud Gimel, the Mechaber, appears to contradict himself. He says, Yisrael Shasa Gavinois, Bebeisav Kechavim V'chosman V'chosim Defush Shalaitz, the Yid made cheese in the guy's house, and he sealed them with a wooden stamper, V'shakach HaTfus Bebeisav Kechavim, and he forgot, he left the stamper in the guy's house. The Mechaber says, "Ein choishishin shemaziyafay v'kechavim v'chasam achayim v'ba'isaytfus." You don't have to be concerned that the guy is going to use your stamper and stamp other cheeses. V'chein ein lochu shemehichlekay v'kechavim p'nei agvinas b'shum chazir. You have to be worried that after you left the cheese there, he smeared the face of the cheese with something treif. You don't have to be chayshish. Now the second thing, you're not chayshish shmir with shem and chazir, so that's easy. The Shachim Mem Aleph says, because like hashin and shem kivin lachshiloi calls mashalayv kav manah. The guy has no benefit. He sold these cheeses already to the yid. He has no benefit in shmiring it. But what about the first half of the mechaber? The mechaber said that when not chayshish, the guy is going to be mezayif achasima. That seems to contradict Sif Tes. We said we are chayshish. So the Shach, without actually asking the kasha, he comes to answer. The Shach is a cut in them. And he is coming to answer the question. Rosh Hashulchan writes that that's his kavana. His kavana is to answer the stira to Sif Tes. And the Shach says, I think, three things. Let's read it carefully. The last line?
Yes.
Well, they didn't seal cheese. They didn't have shrink wrap. They didn't have this chasima stamped on. If he's going to smear the cheese coated with shuma chazir, you're not going to be able to tell.
Closed?
No, it's open. It's just the stamp is in the cheese. It's stamped into the cheese. Right? Yeah. Right. No, not that it's sealed with a container. It's stamped with like a signet ring, that type of a stamper. Engraved, pressed it. Zot the Shach Mem. Now, in this shach turns the whole issue of allowing labels, kosher labels, to stay in a plant that also makes treif. I mentioned to you last week, a plant that only makes kosher is not really much of an issue. If you have Pepsi and it only makes kosher, you don't need the OU on the label. You need people, yetziv and nifnis, they come once in a while, they visit the plant, and they can just tell you that all Pepsi is kosher, if that's the fact. So you don't really, that's not the issue, who has the OU. It doesn't really matter, because you don't need the OU. You need to know that whatever is made in the plant is kosher, then it's kosher. Our issue is when you have a plant, or in this case a cheese, a guy who makes cheese, who makes kosher and makes treif. He produces both. When he produces both, that is where the issue of trusting him with a chasima comes up. Because some things do have a chasima, some don't. Can you trust him to put the chasima only on the correct ones?
So the OU on the Pepsi is unnecessary?
The OU in the Pepsi is a way of giving you a message right. That OU checks the Pepsi plant. But if you called OU and you said you still give an extra on Pepsi and they said yes, then you could buy it without the OU. The OU doesn't change it if everything Pepsi makes is...
It's the same thing when you call our stum. If Phillips stum has an OU on it, you really don't need an OU on Phillips stum.
If the fact is that they're all kosher. Yeah. They don't have additives. Now, let's see Mem. Shach Mem. Ein chayshishin. Why? As I said, I think he says three things. Let's see what they are. Sheyarei ha'vekechavim sheyachu sheyehudi raga lasis chayis may bibakim hiyochid. His first reason is, the guy is not going to stamp it, because he's afraid that the Jew knows exactly how he does it, the spot he does it on, and he'll recognize it's more crooked, or it's not in the right spot. He's afraid that he'll be caught. That's the first reason. Va'oid, Shema Yargisha Yisrael B'davar, also he might be caught, because the Jew will realize, Machba Shach Reinoi Shanasu Acher Kach Him Lachis Yaisa. Because you'll see, cheese is wet. It's the way you make cheese is you pull it out of you take cheesecloth and you pull the curds out of a mixture and the liquid whey remains behind. It's wet and it dries over time. So here he's afraid that he'll walk in and he just made this new cheese and stamped it and it's more wet. He'll say, what's going on? He'll be caught. So the first two reasons are because the guy is afraid he'll be caught. The third reason is a different reason. Vayit. Nika sveike tuva. There are really many sveikas. Kishema loy baha chaysim hanevad me oilam liyadav yikachavim. Maybe the guy never picked up this chaysim that you left in his building. Vimtaim salayma bali yadai shema loy zayif. And even if he picked it up, maybe he wasn't mezayif it. Vimtaim salayma zayif shema loy hemid ele bedavar amutter. Even as mezayif, maybe that cheese happened to be kosher cheese anyway. So Mardechai makes sveikis. It's hard to understand. The first two sveikis seem to be one suffix. Did the guy pick up the stamper? Even if he did he stamp it? And then, even if he did stamp it, maybe that cheese happened to be a mutadika cheese anyway. What? Okay, good. One second. Akal Shein Mardechai. Vinei Abeis Tamim Arishayinim Eina Maspikim. The first two reasons, Einam is speaking only to the Gvinais that the Jew left in the guy's home, where he'll walk in later. The first reason has to do with the original person coming back and catching him. So that's good enough in the case where the original person comes back. But not good enough if the cheeses are sent out and now they're in a store. Because in the store, the original person is not coming back. The Tamachrein is also maspik to buy cheeses from him. So he seems to say that either of the reasons is an acceptable reason. The first two reasons are that he may be caught because of circumstantial things that have to do with the cheese. And the second reason is that there are many chashashes. So here, the Shach seems to be saying that you can rely on the third reason alone. The reason that there's sveike tuva seems to be something you can rely on. So what does that mean? That means if you left labels in the plant, so first of all, the guy may not have taken a hold of the labels. And even if he saw that you left the labels, maybe he didn't use it. And even if he used it, maybe he used it on something that was kosher anyhow. That's the issue. Now, I began to mention to you last week that a number of years ago, this goes back quite a while, probably 25 years ago, there was a bit of a tumult over the generic brand products, ShopRite brand or Stop and Save brand or Krasdell brand, all the generic brand products. The Ha'ara was a very strong Ha'ara that they go to different places. They'll make it once in this plant, once in that plant. There's no real Yitzhak V'nichnis. You can't go in and catch them. You go into Pepsi, you know where their plants are. You go in and catch them. If somebody's making a generic brand of whatever it is, of soda, lollipops, they go to one plant, they go to a different plant at a different time. There's no Yitzhak V'nichnis. If they don't tell you, they're not going to call the Mashgiach and say, we're going to a Treifa plant. So there's no real opportunity. The first two reasons that you may catch him don't really apply, because how are you going to catch him? So what remains? The Sveike Tuva. He may not have noticed the stamper. He may have noticed. He may not have noticed. And that doesn't apply where it's the same exact ShopRite label. There's no separate kosher label. It's the same ShopRite brand label that's put on the thing. So there's no suffix. Does he use the label? Of course he uses the label. So you only have one suffix. Maybe he made it in a kosher plant anyway. Now that is something of an issue. And corrections were put into place. One of two types of corrections were put into place in the industry. And this Reb Shimon Haider single-handedly did, without making a tumult in the Gassim. He was able to get the Hashgachis, really, to do one of two things. Either to have control of the labels, which is the ideal. In other words, the Mashgiach has the labels. They're going to a plant and they're making lollipops. How many bags are you making? And I'll send them that number of labels. And the Hefsha doesn't have the label. The company doesn't have the labels. Or, as a fallback, if the books are open, in other words, if the Hashgacha has access to the books to see how much they sell, and they know how much they made under the Hefsha, so by doing that, you can see how much comes in and how much goes out. And then a person can have a certain amount of control and know that they didn't make it somewhere else. So this is an old tumult that was resolved a generation ago. And Al-Kaponim, that's this halacha. Now it's important to note that this shach is explaining the Mechaber. It's a little explanation of the Mechaber's Kula, who says that you could be Mekel. The Ramah says you shouldn't rely on this at all. Ramah says, you should not be matir if you left the shtempel in the guy's house, unless you left it placed in a position on the cheese where it was left and it's recognizable. Maybe the guy, you already made cheeses and the shtempel is there and they're going to be picked up. So the guy is going to go. He made for you 5 pound blocks of cheese. So when you're gone, he'll make 4.5 pound blocks. He'll switch them, and he'll put the stamper on it, and they'll get away with it. Oh yeah, yes, tave him. Or maybe yours are better. I'll switch it for inferior ones. Also, ubamakim hefsid yesh lahat bechalin yin. Makim hefsid you can rely on the mechaber. So the Ramah in general holds that a guy is chashud on being machlif the tfus. And therefore, the issue of leaving the shtempel with the guy is a significant issue.
But the workers, the going are workers. They don't. The supermarket is Jewish, religious. But
if the owner of the plant is religious, you mean?
Yeah.
If the owner of the plant is religious, so the guy has nothing to gain in a chinam. If the owner is.